Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, and welcome to our AL provider update call for January 25th, 2023. First one of 2023 here, so we'll get started right out the gate. I'll turn it over to Brenda, who's going to talk here a little bit about workforce.
Thanks, Brandon, and good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. A couple of items on the workforce front that I wanted to chat with you about. I believe that we talked about this on the last iCal provider call, but just to refresh your memory, last fall, the association requested of the Board of Nursing to consider the development of a course for licensed LPNs in Iowa. To take the course to allow them to complete initial assessments and change in condition assessments, which obviously has very clear implications for the assisted living industry. So the Board of Nursing did agree to explore the idea of creating such a course and making that available to the public. And at the current time, the Board of Nursing is working alongside educators in the state from our community colleges to put together some components that they believe are necessary to be included in this course. So we really don't know a lot of information about what they think that might look like or what the timeline might be. But I do serve on the task force myself to get this idea to completion. So I know that we'll be having another meeting here in the upcoming months. So certainly we'll keep you all apprised of any updates or changes as that comes together. So certainly a great deal of relief could be provided to assisted living providers in the state as this rolls out. So more to come on that as it happens. Second thing is, at the beginning of the year, DIA released and published the rules associated with House File 2521 from last year, which was the Healthcare Employment Agency staffing bill, so related specifically to staffing agencies. So in this particular bill, there were a couple of items that I want to draw your attention to that have since been rolled out in the rules. So a couple of them are that the healthcare employment agencies or the staffing agencies are required to register with DIA. So when they made public the rules, they did make them effective on January 4th. So just a couple of weeks ago, but they did allow, I think my internet might've just bleeped out. I apologize for that. So the rules were effective January 4th, if it didn't catch that. But they did allow a 30-day grace period for healthcare agencies to get their registrations into DIA. So we're currently keeping an eye on that to see how many of them are getting that information over to DIA. There are also a couple of other elements that are important for you all to know about the non-compete verbiage that was in that bill. What it basically says is that if you have a contract with your staffing agency that was signed after January 1st of 2019, any non-compete verbiage in that contract is null and void. Meaning if you have an employee that you have contracted with them to bring into your program to assist, whether it's a nurse or a direct care worker, CNA, whatever that person is, that you may have the opportunity to hire them without having to pay like a finder's fee or any other type of penalty. So there are some nuances to that rule. You'll maybe want to take a look at our guidance on the website. There's a link to that in the agenda. In addition to that, the agencies are now going to be required to report to DIA on a quarterly basis a couple of financial components. So one of them being the amount in aggregate, so in total, that they have billed to providers, Medicare and Medicaid providers in the state for staffing services. And then in tandem with that, how much of that money they have paid to their employees to provide those services. And so we're keeping an eye on that because we're hopeful that that will shed some light on some of the margins that they're operating on and move forward with that information as it comes to light. So their first required reporting is in April. So we'll see after that date what that information reveals. As I said in the agenda, there's a link to the updated guidance document for our members. Please take a look at that. On the last page, there have been some action items included that I'd like to draw your attention to. Things like, how to approach staffing agencies or their integration into your program in terms of how, what needs to be addressed in your policies and whether or not you will engage with a staffing agency or healthcare employment agency that is or isn't registered, and how you will go about communicating with them in the event of an allegation of abuse, because there is some pretty clear verbiage in the rules now about responsibility of the agency, excuse me, to communicate when those events occur. So I encourage you to take a look at that document. Next item is the COVID-19 news. Couple of topics underneath that umbrella. The first thing is the status of the public health emergency. So the federal public health emergency has been extended until mid-April. So they did extend that kind of at the 11th hour just 2 weeks ago. So it is currently in place until April, I believe, the 12th. We do not really intend or expect HHS to extend the public health emergency past that date. So we're waiting to hear from them as they have agreed to give us a 60-day notice of their intent to allow that to expire. So that, of course, notice will be coming very soon in February if that is going to be the case. So implications for assisted living providers in Iowa would include the allocation of COVID testing supplies that have been sent to CLIA-waived providers throughout the nation under the public health emergency. Have not received exact word of what is going to happen with that program, but I think it would be good practice to prepare for those allocations to cease. I know that they've begun tapering off and, becoming a bit intermittent at times, but I would just prepare for those shipments to end around that time. So as we learn more from HHS and from CMS, we will share that information. But at this point, I think we can expect that to happen. The other item is related to an investigation that is being done at the CDC and the FDA related to the most recent bivalent vaccine booster, the COVID vaccine booster that was released last fall. They have noticed what they call a weak indicator there may be an increased risk for stroke for some portions of the population. So they are doing investigation at the CDC and the FDA. They are not changing their recommendations for vaccine administration at this time, but I just wanted to alert you, and also in your agenda, there's a link to the summary of that information that has been shared publicly. So no need for concern at this point. Just wanted to alert you that there is that investigation occurring. And then in tandem with that, the Biden administration and the CDC have been certainly encouraging those folks at, in vulnerable populations to get those bivalent boosters if they have not done that already. They're saying that the research is very strong to support that it does create immunity. Or at least, not necessarily that you're not going to get COVID. And I think we've probably all experienced some of this in our life at some place people are still getting sick, just getting a less severe case of COVID when they're boosted. With that, I think I'm going to turn it over to Brandon. He's going to talk about some items on the legislative agenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Yeah, so as far as the legislative perspective to go, I think we're going to start out with Day on the Hill, and that is our annual event where we like to bring members, our members together, and go down to the Capitol to discuss legislative issues that are impacting long-term care with their elected officials. And so that is March 8th of this year. You should have received a notice that went out from our communications group here, inviting you to participate in that event. We're really trying to make the event bigger this year. We're shooting for around 100 people to participate. Usually we're around that 40 to 50 mark. And so, and as part of that group, or as part of that event, we're offering 2 hours of free CEUs ahead of the Day on the Hill, which will focus around, kind of a legislative update, prepping you, and so you understand like what issues are impacting long-term care at the Capitol this year, and then prepping you for how Day on the Hill works and how to call out your legislator from the chambers, and just kind of giving you the logistics to have a successful meeting with your elected officials. So March 8th is the date on that. We have a link in the agenda for you to be able to register for that if you would like. Another new thing, or a new thing that we're going to be doing this year, is Fridays from the State House. And these are calls that are going to be occurring every Friday at, I think, 10 o'clock. You can register to participate and get the latest updates on what happened this week regarding long-term care. We had our first call last Friday. We record these and then we post them in the bulletin following Wednesday. So again, you could register for those on Fridays at 10, just for a quick, they probably will be about 15, 20 minutes per call, just to give a quick rundown of the situation impacting IHCA, ICAL, ICHC members for that week. And then lastly, an AL legislative update. There hasn't been a lot of activity on the AL front. I will say that the biggest, probably concern that we've heard from, that we've seen in a bill has been, there was a bill that would have created a CON, a certificate of need process for assisted living programs. Historically, IHCA has been of the thinking and at the request of members that CON not impact assisted living, since most of assisted living products are private pay in nature, with very few individuals being of state assistance. Having a CON process hasn't seemed to make a lot of sense for that group. So there was a bill that would have instituted a CON process for AL. We are actively working to get that bill so it doesn't move any further. We think that we are on the right track in being successful with that. But that is just one area that has come up within these first couple weeks that would have concerned our assisted living membership. Brenda talked earlier here about the healthcare employment agency rules. There's you'll see a cleanup bill there as well, which is removing some parties from participating in this. And we're talking like nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and physical therapy, occupational therapists. Not really the segment of employees that we were trying to capture in this bill, but the definition, by definition of direct services, those individuals would have been included, which we did not, was an unintended consequence of the bill. So cleanup of that is happening as well. Within these first couple weeks, it's active right now and being looked at. So that's really, for the most part, what's been going on so far on the AL front. Obviously, there will be advocacy if you are a waiver provider and providing Medicaid services to individuals in your assisted living or your RCF. We would be advocating, and we will be advocating, for additional funding to the Home and Community-Based Service Program, Elderly Waiver. And so that will be obviously an initiative that we focus on here coming up, since oftentimes, or every time, the budget and reimbursement is the last thing discussed. And so we are working We'll be working more on that as we get closer, probably to end of February, early March, on budget items. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Brenda, who's going to go into regulatory.
Thanks, Brandon. Only one thing really to talk about on the regulatory front. As our national affiliate, NCAL, introduced a new leader last year, LaShawn Bethea, she has made it one of her goals to create an assisted living resource center for any assisted living program in the nation. And so one of the first items that's been completed in that initiative is the NCAL state regulatory review. And so this is a document that includes every state in the nation and a summary of their regulatory situation, if there have been significant changes and kind of how their oversight, regulatory oversight is built. So if you're curious, you can take a look at that. Certainly a lot of information there, particularly for those who practice in several states, might be a great tool for you to use in your endeavors. So just wanted to direct that to you. On the quality improvement front, just want to provide a reminder that the deadline to submit your applications to the National Quality Award Program is tomorrow. Tomorrow by 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So if you are in the midst of writing your last parts of your application, just be aware that deadline is tomorrow. So hopeful to see that there are a great deal of applications submitted from Iowa providers this year, as historically has been the case. So turn it back over to Brandon to give another reimbursement update.
Thanks, Brenda. The only item under reimbursement that we want to talk about with you today is info letter 2415. This is a stakeholder listening session on the end of continuous coverage requirement. And so what this is during the PHE, public health emergency, state agencies and the Department of Human Services was unable to end coverage for Medicaid recipients. And so there were many provider types that were able to continue to have coverage for their Medicaid residents and tenants, even if they maybe didn't actually qualify. And that's partially because of the PHE and an inability of people to lose coverage during that time. And so as we are winding down out of the PHE, they are going to start having sessions like this, which is today at, I want to say, 2 o'clock, today at 3 o'clock. And so if you click on the link in the agenda, it's info letter 2415. You can register for the event for today, which is the first meeting or first discussion that they're having with stakeholders on this end of continuous coverage requirement that will be being phased out over the next couple months, with it ending in April, as Brenda said, with the PHE, since it goes through that date right now. So we'll obviously be on there as we learn and have more information on the continuous coverage ending. We'll be running that through our bulletin. But obviously, any stakeholder who would like can participate in this program. If it is, if you are an AL that services Medicaid, it wouldn't be bad for you to take a listen and see if there's going to be an impact to you on with this change. So again, IL 2415, call is at 3 o'clock today if you want to listen in on that. So back to you, Brenda, for education.
Very good. Thank you. So just want to draw your attention to some educational opportunities through the association. We do have our CNA in-service on-demand series. So this is actually built for not just CNAs, but for direct care workers. This is a series that's all inclusive, or not all inclusive, but inclusive of many of the commonly provided topics for your staff throughout the year. Maybe you have like a monthly in-service, or you have some requirements that your employees are required to participate in throughout the year. This series is meant to assist you in making that a little bit easier. It's a package deal. So for one fee, you can purchase the series and use it as much or as little or however it works best in your program. So you can take a look at that. We are also having our annual life safety, fire safety conference in February. This has historically been a very, you know, well-attended event for directors and maintenance or engineering folks to understand what's required in the code for life safety and fire safety and any recent changes that you all need to be aware of. This year, the conference will be held virtually on February 21st. So certainly encourage you or whoever in your program may be interested in participating in that to get registered. Registration is open. You can just click on the link in the agenda and go to register there, or you can do that through our website, through our education tab, either way, but certainly a ton of information is shared at that particular conference by the fire marshal and other regulatory bodies. So encourage you to attend that. Also have our assisted living management certification course. This is a week-long course coming up in April. So thankful to be talking about spring. It's time for that pretty soon to be upon us. But in April, during the week of the 17th through the 21st, we'll be hosting in the office in West Des Moines our assisted living management certification course. And that's for any person who is a director in an Iowa assisted living facility or program that needs to either meet the requirements initially or would like to renew their education and get those CEUs to keep their current certification status up to date. During that same week, on one day, we host the AL Nurse Regulatory course, and this is a day filled full of information related to Iowa specific rules and regulations for assisted living. The Iowa regulations or rules state that any delegating nurse in an assisted living program must take a minimum of a 6-hour course specific to assisted living rules in the state. So any new assisted living nurses are welcome to join us on that day. And I do believe that registration is already open for that those two courses. So please do so if you need to or would like to participate in either one of those. Also wanted to share with you an on-demand education that I feel is particularly meaningful to our leaders in assisted living or in really any post-acute sector. It's Leadership 101. And this is really meant for some of those folks out there that are maybe new to leadership or management, and they need to hone their skills in communication and understanding how to manage people. It's a series of 1-hour modules that can be done at your leisure because of the on-demand status of that. So take a look at that. Certainly encourage you to participate in that if you'd like. And I think that concludes everything on our agenda. So I'm going to open it up for questions. If there, I don't see any in the chat, but I'm going to give you all a second to put your questions in the chat if you have them, or just unmute yourself and ask a question if you'd like.